The Burt Show.
How's everybody's day? What's going on? How was everybody yesterday?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling better.
Yeah.
I had that weird stomach bug for the last couple of days, but I woke up this morning and I was like, oh my God, I don't feel like I want to throw up. This is so great. I feel like a pregnant woman who's just like left like the first trimester or something. I'm like, for the first time, I'm not walking around with unhinged nausea.
So I've heard women say this before, so I'm asking you and Kristen this question, right? This hypothetical question. And it's a joke, right? Where women say that I haven't been feeling good, I haven't been able to eat, or I've been in the bathroom. But at least I lost some weight and I can see some abs, right? It's the joke.
Right.
So let me ask you this question. With that, if you gave a woman the option to be sick once a week with some kind of like stomach flu or something, for her to see her abs and look aesthetically better in the mirror to herself, would they take that offer up?
I mean, speaking for myself, absolutely not. That sounds miserable.
What? Once a week?
I'm thinking about it.
Oh, no.
How sick am I?
It's 24 hours. There are only a couple of ways that it can come out, but whatever. And the rest of the week, your stomach looks a little bit different and maybe you took a pound or two off.
No, I mean, I look pretty good already, so I'm going to say no.
Okay.
One day of stomach pain for 7 days of abs?
6 days, yeah.
Not a woman, but I'd do it. I'll take it.
It's just a couple of hours.
Yeah.
It's just one day. How you doing today, man?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Yesterday was a busy day for me. I went to therapy. I worked a lot, and I took my lady out because I had to see her back to New York, which is always a tough day, mostly for her, but it's a little tough for me, too. And that was really it.
Okay. How was therapy yesterday? I had to go see a therapist for the initial meeting was yesterday.
That's the same thing for me.
Same thing for me
because my last therapist, it was actually interesting because she was the kind of therapist that would somewhat give answers, advice is what I'm trying to say on what you should do. And this therapist, it was like the first thing she said to me out the gate. She was like, I'm not the kind of therapist that gives advice. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I am just going to listen to you and try to give you clarity upon what you should do. And the moment she said that, I felt like I connected to her more because that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
Ultimately, like that's the kind of space I wanted to be in. So I needed a new relationship. And I think this one is going to work out.
I think it's funny that we both went to see a new therapist for the first time. What if we would have ended up in the same waiting room together waiting on a new therapist?
Doing the Spider-Man meme.
Right. I have shown up to a therapist before, and in the lobby was a celebrity that I recognized from a very well-known 90s band. And he looked at me and I looked at him because he's from Atlanta. So he looked at me, I looked at him. We didn't really say anything, but we kind of acknowledged that we both know who each other are. And we're both jacked up.
I had a similar experience with a rapper.
Did you?
Yeah, with a really, really popular Atlanta rapper.
Really?
And he had a mask on, but I knew it was him.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
So mine yesterday was really great. I've done therapy for so long. The heavy therapy started for me once my kid was born. And I told you guys, I didn't really feel like I had a connection with him. I'm like, oh no, that's my dad. And that's my mom. And that's where all these scars started. So I am not going to be that dad. So that's where it all started. And I have gone through so many different therapists. And you could just tell after a couple if you connect or not, you know. And this one I really connected with. So there was such relief about that, right? When you know, like, okay, immediately she sees me and immediately I trust her.
Yeah, this is the third therapist I'm giving a chance to. And this is the first time out the three in consultation where I felt like this is the one. Like, if it's the first time it's ever felt like that for me. Like, it's not forced. It's like, no, this actually feels like it's going to be a good situation.
Feels so good. I made her cuss yesterday. It's the very first time in any kind of session that I ever made a therapist cuss. I won't tell you guys what it was about, but to me, it seemed like everything that I dumped on her yesterday, this would be the one that was the least cursable. And when she laughed, I even said to her, like, out of everything I just told you about my childhood and everything I'm going through now and the mistakes I've made that I hold on to and I can't seem to let go, and that's why I'm in here is just to get my body to get some release, this is the thing you're going to cuss about? She's like, look, man, I am an open book. I just can't hold it back. And I'm like, that's perfect.
That's a good sign.
That's really great.
Well,
how about you, KK?
I'm on the struggle bus.
Yeah.
I'm here. That's what I've been saying to everybody every time I show up somewhere. when I go to my two gym sessions this week, Jamie, he's like, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm here.
Right. I told you about that, the guy at the grocery store a couple of days ago. When I asked him how he was doing, he's like, I'm doing the best I can.
Yep.
Yeah.
There is some stuff going on at home that is difficult. I think a lot of people will relate. I got two trigger days coming up this weekend that are hard to cope with. So I'm trying to deal with that. I got a friend that's going through something really heavy and I'm feeling for her. So it's a lot of heavy, a lot of dark stuff. So I'm just trying to compartmentalize and come in and do my thing.
This is, I've always said about this job and doing it for 25 years here in Atlanta that, this job is the hardest and the easiest sometimes, for when everything's going on in our lives out there. For me, this has always sort of been the place that I am not allowed to really think about it. And I try to compartmentalize just for like 4 or 5 hours a day before we walk out there. And that's the real world. But sometimes it's just impossible to do, man. It's just so heavy that you just don't feel like you're on your game, you know?
No, that's the way I was yesterday. And that's the way it's going to be today. But I'm going to do my best just to, you know, it's life be lifin'. And sometimes you just got to
do the best you can.
Deal with the cards you got and try to come out with the best hand.
Who was it that told me a long time ago, sometimes your 100% is 40%?
Brene Brown said that in regards to relationships, that like she and her husband have conversations with each other and that they will be honest, like, hey, I can only give you 40% today. Mm-hmm. And he's like, don't worry, I got the extra 60, or, you know, vice versa, or they're both. So they share where they're at so the other one can pick up the slack.
Okay.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
We were just joking in the first break that if you had the option to be sick for one day a week in exchange for looking the best you've ever looked, abs, skinny, snatch, whatever that is for you, maybe skinny, thick, whatever you want to look like, if you were going to choose to be sick for one day, would that be worth it? And while it's a joke, I do think it brings up something that is kind of taboo to talk about, but sometimes being more attractive does make life easier. I think that's why when we see beautiful people or beautiful women, we can't help but just acknowledge this beauty that they walk around with. But Halle Berry says that she is sick of it. Halle Berry, one of the most beautiful women in the world, was speaking with a now viral interview with Fortune magazine and says she wants to be known for more than just being pretty.
I have longed for someone to say something to me other than, oh gosh, you're so pretty. Mm. I've longed to hear other words. I know I'm more than this. So as I've aged, I've been determined to age gracefully and naturally. I think it's a shame that as women, we're being told that we have to find a way to stay eternally young, forever 30, as though we're not allowed to be human and do what we're naturally born to do. We're born to age and die. Mm-hmm. But somehow as women, we have to do the unthinkable. We have to figure out a way to do it. And unfortunately, we're turning ourselves into monsters trying to do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm committed to being a spokesperson for allowing yourself to age gracefully, knowing that you're more than this shell you're walking around in.
Well, what a great example of the grass is brown everywhere. You know, like, great looking women want to be average. Average looking women want to look great. Everybody's going through something.
Everybody's unhappy with everything. But I thought that was such a great interview. And to hear somebody as accomplished as Halle Berry say that that's what she wants to be acknowledged for. It's like, it's great that I was born with these incredible genes that everyone is paying millions and millions of dollars for and filling their face up with fillers to look like. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like, she wants to be known for what she can do for the world. And I think recently we've seen that a lot with her standing up for women who are going through, you know, the menopause, whether it's been, you know, her just making her entire line of feminine products for women going through that, or just saying this in an interview.
Yeah, I love that she's championed this. I think I last week asked you guys, because I find this look so common now, that LA fake lips, cheeks, filler thing. I just find it so common and uninteresting now.
The Love Island look,
yeah. The influencer look, for sure. And I asked you guys last week, do you think there's going to be a pendulum swing at one point or another? So when somebody like Halle Berry comes out and says, I ain't doing it, you know what? I'm going to age gracefully. I'm not putting anything in my face, and champion that. I really like that for women.
Exactly.
I love that for her. That doesn't mean I'm going to be canceling my Daxify appointment anytime soon.
I'm curious, is like when I hear her say that women have these different expectations to just constantly always age differently, which I know to be true. Why is it so difficult for as a woman, if you want to say, I don't care, and to not to alleviate that pressure of I need to look a certain way because you just simply don't care?
Again, I have a dark response to this because it's my fear of death. So if I look like I'm aging, then it freaks me out. So by trying to appear young, I feel like I'm pushing off death.
Okay.
So that's something that's I'm not speaking for everybody. I'm just speaking for myself. It's literally in my head that as long as I stay looking younger, I feel like I'm cheating death. Even though that is so illogical, it makes zero sense. Whatever, because the body is the body. Whatever is going. So that's why I get my face pumped up with Coke.
Yeah, no, I just like getting my drinks for free. You won't see me skipping out on a plastic surgery appointment. I'll be out there in the streets.
Yeah, I don't think you got to worry about it for a while. You're good to go.
I'm good for a hot second. Okay, I got so excited yesterday because I saw a clip of Amy Poehler's podcast where she was interviewing Dakota Johnson. And I got excited about this for one particular reason. And it's because the reality show that I'm applying for, Dakota Johnson is a fan of.
I have found a show called Farmer Wants a Wife.
Oh my
God.
It's
a nightmare. A farmer like scrolls through a list of women and picks 8 of them. They all come. There's 4 farmers.
Okay.
8 women per farmer.
8 women per farmer?
Yes. Then they go on
a speed date.
10 minutes per woman. And then they see if they have a connection. And then he has to choose 5 women to bring back to his farm and date them all for 6 weeks.
Oh my God.
It's insane.
First of all, I'm just horrified by the amount he gets to pick from. He gets to pick from 5?
It's ridiculous.
And is a lot of his choosing about, like, how is she going to help me with the farm?
Oh, that's the crazy thing is he makes them do a lot of manual labor. They're like, you know, I really like that she's from the city, but I don't know how she'll do out on the tractor. So I don't know what accent that was. Like, I don't know where that farmer's from.
What do you like about watching it? Do you like because you're outraged by it?
I just got so geeked out that like a show that was pretty anonymous about a year ago is now getting so much traction that Dakota freaking Johnson is on Amy Poehler's podcast talking about it and making fun of just the absolute ridiculousness of it.
So we have a casting director coming on between 8 and 8:30 from that show this morning to give you some guidance on how to apply.
I'm literally so geeked out. Dakota Johnson is going to watch me on Fox. All right, one of the jurors from Diddy's trial was removed from it. I'm going to explain why on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right, so the diagnosis for me from my therapists and doctors is you need to chill out, bro. Now, I don't feel stress, right? I mean, there are times in your life where you feel like you're going through a crisis and you get that nervous feeling and all that. But for the most part, I don't really absorb stress. At least I don't think I do. But my body is telling me, you stressed out, bro.
Do you think your mind, because you had a stressful childhood, has just come up with these fantastic coping mechanisms that in your head you think you're not stressed, but your body is like, I beg to differ?
Well, you would have saved me $150 yesterday, Kristen, because that's pretty much what she said.
Shut up. Are you serious?
Yes. So that's kind of where it all started, okay. Right? Because I did grow up in this house with very dismissive. And, you know, I don't even want to get into all that, but yes, that's exactly where it started. And think about you being in a car and having your foot on the accelerator all the time and hardly ever pumping the brakes. That's how my body is absorbing stress because I'm compartmentalizing everything.
It's like you're starring in Speed. The movie.
Yeah, right. Yeah. If it goes underneath a certain speed, I think I'm going to blow up, right? So, I don't know if you guys are like this or not, but in my head, there is never, ever a quiet moment. So even if I'm watching a TV show, there is something else that I am thinking about in my noggin that I should be doing. So then I'll go and do that thing. Even in quiet times, even in times when I'm not doing anything at all, there's usually a song, some kind of song. It could have been something I just heard on the radio. It could have been whatever it is, there's like this playlist in my mind that won't allow my mind to not think of anything. So lately it's been Lizzo song.
Oh, I love that song.
Fills my head so I don't have to not think of anything, right? So they are suggesting that I gotta find a hobby. Never in my life have I had a hobby. Never. Something that doesn't have a result attached to it.
Now I got the song. Could have had a bad bitch.
Of all the songs.
I can't wait to call it.
It's going to be stuck in all eyes.
Yes, man. And sometimes I'll have to listen to it to get it out of my head. And then when I do that, then I just replace it with the hook of another song.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That is the greatest song to be at a bar where you're like four drinks in and it comes on and you just look at all the women and you're like, what? It's the greatest.
It's exhausting though in here. It's exhausting. All right, so here's my question to you guys, and it's the dumbest, most superficial question I have ever asked you guys. 1-855-BIRCHSHOW. What is your hobby? Is there anything that possibly can appeal to me? So I go online, and I start taking a look at some hobbies, right? And it, of course, in an ADHD way, took me off into a very left-pivoting turn on extreme hobbies.
I'm shocked that you didn't hit up ChatGPT and ask it, what should be my hobby?
Yeah, I guess I could have done that because it knows me pretty well.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm still old school and I went to the internet instead of ChatGPT. You guys ever heard of extreme ironing?
Excuse me?
Ironing clothes?
Extreme.
So people iron clothes on a full ironing board while engaging in other extreme sports and activities. They often do this on challenging and remote locations like a cliff or a beach or rock climbing or skiing or even scuba diving under a frozen lake.
No, extreme ironing is just when I realize I have 5 minutes to leave and my shirt is still wrinkly. Right. That's extreme ironing.
Wait, did you say ironing in a frozen lake?
Yes.
Doesn't like water, I know it's frozen, but doesn't water and electricity not mix?
Well, maybe it's the last time you have that hobby.
That's why it's extreme. Right.
It's a one-day hobby. toy voyaging. Ready for the most unusual hobby you've ever heard of. Toy voyaging is a whimsical hobby where participants send their toys on holidays around the globe. Owners document the toy's journey by partnering with fellow toy voyagers who host and photograph the toy in various locations. So I think they were doing that with like Flat Stanley years and years and years ago. You remember that?
Yeah. And I did this with Bluey and Bingo. Those, like, so I had a little Bluey figurine, a little Bingo figurine. And they were, my son had put them in my purse when I left for a girls' weekend with Molly. And we were at Lake Oconee. And so I just started taking them around and taking pictures and posting them. And it became a thing until I went to the spa and I put them in my pocket and I left them in my pocket.
No.
No.
And then I dropped my robe.
Oh.
I dropped my robe off and then I went back. They were gone. So Bluey and Bing. So I'm going to warn you that
they were toy napped?
Yes, they were. I went back to the spa and I'm like, I know they have to be here. And they're like, we can't find them anywhere. So I'm just letting you know that if you do that, knowing that you're a little bit forgetful, some heartbreak could be right around the corner.
Oh, bless.
Yes.
Good morning, Wendy. You were on the Burt Show. All I want to do is get some quiet time in my noggin.
Hey, Burt. It's your P1 here.
Hi, Wendy.
I think that you should start collecting stamps. I used to when I was a kid, and with all the traveling that you do, I actually think that is something you would really enjoy.
Okay, it'd be way cheaper than me getting a tattoo, which I've been doing for every country that I'm in, and way less painful.
Yeah, you're stamping your body.
Okay, right. Other ones that caught my attention that I certainly am not doing, except the last two on this list could be pretty cool. Extreme couponing. People really love that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that don't pay anything for anything.
Let's watch the movie on that. That's a real thing.
Is that right?
Yeah. They made a whole movie about how you just could keep collecting coupons and you'll save thousands and thousands of dollars.
What's the most extreme case you saw? Do you remember?
In the movie?
Yeah.
They had, like, if you would say, for example, like Tide laundry detergent was on sale. And if it's on sale, instead of buying one, you'd buy 20. And that way, for the next, like, they calculated to where for, like, 20 years, you'll never have to buy another one if you buy it in bulk. And it shows you how much money you'll actually save in doing that.
I'm just not nearly organized to do that. You could do it.
Didn't she have, like a garage or something?
Like a garage, yes.
All of,
it looked like her own supermarket.
Yeah, I was going to say, she had, like, her own Costco in her house,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Katie, good morning. What is your hobby? Just to escape the thoughts in your head.
So I don't know if this is so much a hobby or if something's just wrong with me, but well, I like to walk my dog in more like secluded areas. So we'll go to like golf courses when they're closed. And for some reason, I cannot help but take any golf balls that I see left over and I'll clean them for my golfer friends and just give it to them. And I don't know why. I hate golfing.
I love this, though.
It's like a scavenger hunt, Katie. Okay.
It's my tchotchke, as Rebecca says.
Yeah, yeah. I see so much wisdom in this. A, you're getting out in nature a little bit, mm-hmm. and you're walking your dog, and you have the added bonus of getting these golf balls, cleaning them up, and then giving them to others as gifts.
It's like Pokemon. You got to catch them all.
That's great. Yeah. Okay, the two, I'll skip the others. The two that I really like, and I've talked about this one before as a sort of a fantasy, train surfing.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about this.
If you like indulging in dangerous activities, it says, and like to live life with an adrenaline rush, I like that, then this hobby is for you. Train surfing is an adrenaline-fueled hobby where thrill seekers ride on the roofs or sides of moving trains while holding onto handrails. In many countries, yeah, this activity is illegal. So mine wouldn't be hanging on, but mine would be just jumping on a cargo train and just seeing where it's going. I don't even know.
One that's got the door open. He just hops on and goes for a ride.
Right. Is the last hobby getting run over by a train?
Right? A lot of these are one-day hobbies. And this last one is the one that I think I can sink my teeth into. Drone racing. People are
That's
racing
a thing? You can race drones.
So there is like a course in the sky and you go up against another person and you guys race drones to the finish line.
That's good.
But again, that is reward-based because there's going to be a winner. Yeah. So it's a competition. So I don't think that's going to accomplish what you need,
right.
Which is you're doing it for literally nothing.
What if you don't care if you win?
Yes.
Can you do anything where you don't care?
Absolutely not.
Right. No. We have stupid in-show on-air games, and I feel like there's $1 million on the line. All right, Brittany, good morning. You are on The Burt Show.
You should play pickleball.
No.
No, I should not. Absolutely.
Shut that down instantly.
Absolutely.
Brittany,
not.
You are so sweet. Thank you for calling. We appreciate your call. There's no way in hell I'm letting Bert on a pickleball court with his two replaced hips. That's not happening.
Hey, don't forget the two knees, man. No. I also had surgery on both knees.
Absolutely not. You are an orthopedic surgeon's dream on a pickleball court.
I have two orthopedic surgeon friends that say pickleball is the best thing that ever happened to their practice because there are so many injuries. People think, it's easier than tennis, but there's so much cutting involved back and forth, and people get so crazy about it that people are, losing their hips and knees and ankles. Sounds good.
Sounds like a good time.
The Burt Show.
Oh, is in love and love and love, but it turns out that maybe love. You in love.
Came from the depths of your soul.
It really did.
So how is it possible that your girlfriend is a bad influence on your sister?
Yeah, so I came to y'all a while ago, I don't know if you remember, and said that at some point my baby sister wanted to move to New York City. And my lady lives in New York City, lives in Long Island to be specific. And so they came to me as a family, and apparently everybody had worked this out and then come to me thinking that I was going to be against it, asking if my sister or if I would be comfortable with my baby sister moving in with my lady. And they would live. She has a 2-bedroom condo and she lives in it by herself. So it just kind of made sense.
Yeah, bro. What can go wrong?
Right. Right. So I wasn't going to be the bad guy or the bad big brother in this situation to say, nah, I'm against it. That's my sister's dream. And it's a situation that clearly makes it a little convenient for her to go out and follow her dream. So I supported it. I'm all for it. I don't want to be in the middle of it, but I support it. So I think we're about, 6 months in now? Time really flies. Mm-hmm. Where she's been living there. And she's taken to it very well. Things seem to be going very well. And my lady is trying to help her network and trying to help her connect with people. And here's where I think my lady is a bit of a bad influence on my sister. So apparently my lady introduced my sister to her cousin's friend, right? They're around the same age group. They got a lot of the similar things going on. So she introduced the two of them. At some point, my sister invited her new friend to a party, to some kind of party that was happening at 7 p.m. Somehow, some way, my sister is going to this party. Now, keep in mind, my sister invited her, and she's bringing one of her friends. So now it's three of them going to this party, starts at 7 p.m. At 6:30 on the way to the party, my sister realizes that she double booked and she had another event that she was supposed to be at, which also starts at 7 p.m. Apparently, this other event that she was supposed to be at, there are going to be some really great networking opportunities that she did not want to let pass by. So she had a decision to make. This is pretty bad. This is a new friend. You just met her. You invited her out. She came all the way out of her way to go to this party to meet you. And you pretty much can only be there for about 20, 30 minutes max because you have a more important event that you do not want to let pass. What do you do in that situation? That's what it came down to. So my lady comes to me and she tells me this, and this is all happening in real time. Of course, I get this information when it's literally happening. So I said, my advice was just tell my sister to be honest. Just tell her it was a mistake. You're sorry. You can only stay for a little bit of time. You'll make it up to her.
Sure.
She said, we're not doing that. Why would we do that?
Yeah, 100% honesty. I've always endorsed it. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. You want to hover around 98%.
Yeah. She looked at me like it was the most ridiculous idea she had ever heard in her life.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what's the alternative? And she said, well, we're going to lie.
Yeah. Sometimes a well-placed fib is smart. It's smart strategy.
No, remember, we have a new word for lie, and that's new truth.
That's right.
New truth.
That's right.
They were just going to new truth it.
They're going to develop a new truth. And
don't get it twisted when I say 98% honesty is where you want to be. That doesn't mean you do major things and lie about it. These are just little itty-bitty things like this right here that'll just get you through the moment.
Right. So she influences my sister because she calls my sister, and I hear it. I hear the phone conversation. And she says, well, this is what your brother thinks we should do. This is what I think we should do. It wasn't like a second of thought. Oh, I like your plan better. I said, all right, y'all do what y'all going to do. So I'm like, I don't even want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
So I walk out, let them plan it, let them figure it out. And when I walk back in, I guess I walked back in as the plan was in motion.
And they're plotting.
Right. Okay. So they knee deep in it at this point because I see her making a phone call and it's on speaker so I can hear it ringing. And she's motioning me like, not right now. I'm handling something. And then the next thing I know, I hear like my sister answer the phone and go, hello. And I can tell it's a party and she's in this environment. And my lady just starts yelling, oh my God, Kiana, I got a flat. I'm stuck in the middle of the road.
Oh my God.
I need help. I don't know what to do.
This is the lie.
This is the lie. This is what they came up with. And then there goes my sister. I didn't know she could act. Oh my God, I'm on my way.
Come on.
No, I can't leave her stranded. I'm so sorry, guys. I have to go help. And then she hangs up. And the next thing I know, she's like, see, that worked much better. This is bad,
hey, man. A well-placed acting job. Just a little bitty fib. Yeah. Gets you through those stressful times sometime. No harm, no foul.
New truth.
Right?
Yes, sir.
The Burt Show.
What's the point in having a morning show if you can't do self-serving stuff? So here I go. Later on today on Instagram, if you're on Instagram, and my name there is Burt Show Burt, I'm going to need some help. I am posting a video. Over the course of the last 4 days, I have been trying to put contact lens in my eyes. I can't do it.
Still?
I can't do it, Kristen. I feel like I have gone every single angle on this whole thing. I am getting so frustrated. I am saying unspeakable words in frustration when it's going on. So if you're on Instagram and after I post this today, there's got to be some kind of trick to it. I don't know how long it's supposed to take, but sir, I am missing my eyeball. I'm hitting myself in the eyelid. I'm hitting myself in the eyelashes. The right one, I sort of got coming in and coming out. But that left one, man, it is a real B. And I don't know what the technique is. I've gone on to YouTube to watch people.
Okay.
You know, and on YouTube, it's 45 seconds. This is the easiest thing in the world. You do the day, and then you do the day, and oh, have great sight. not the case for me at all, man. I'm not sure how long this whole process is supposed to take in training yourself on how to put in and take out contact lenses.
I get that putting in contacts for the first time can be really intimidating. Like, I watched my mom go through this somewhat recently. It really freaked her out. She eventually got it down. But have you considered glasses? There's an alternative.
So I wear glasses for distance. So I'm keeping people safe on the streets because can't see out there very well when I'm driving. But it's now starting to get a little jacked up when I'm reading also. So they've got contact lenses that can do both.
But do they not make glasses for, can you not have like glasses in your car and then glasses by your books or your computer?
I guess you can. And then I could have glasses in here and then I could have glasses everywhere. So it's like, no. I could have
Can you use the glasses to help you put the contact lens?
I feel like you need like those transitional lenses. Like, you know, the ones that when you go outside, they go and it's a completely different glass.
Yes, Abby, I do know those. And no, I'm not getting them.
Yeah, don't do the thing with multiple glasses or you're going to end up like me and you're going to think you're stroking out when you're wearing the wrong glasses and you can't see.
Yeah. Do you know, I was reading last week that they are creating new contact lenses. The science is beyond me. It's way too advanced for me, but the contact lenses adjust to your prescription on the fly. So if, it has something to do with a little chip that's in the contact lens or, and it will focus for you depending on what you're looking at. And how far and how close and how mid-range it is.
All right, so it's similar but not, because I was scrolling through Instagram and for whatever reason, this woman's video popped up and she had just had surgery on her eyes. She changed the color of her eyes. Like actually had surgery to change the pigment of her eyes because she wanted aqua marine colored eyes.
Not a good enough reason.
Oh, so it wasn't for vision at all.
No. She had a friend and she loved her friend's eyes and she always wanted that color. So she went and had surgery and they somehow did surgery on her eyeballs and changed the color of her eyes.
Nope.
No, not for aesthetic. Like, I've had LASIK twice, you know, and it's a scary thing when they're in your eyes and you kind of think like, okay, if they mess this up, I'm going to be blind. And I am a fan of being able to see things. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is, right? Yeah, it really is. So taking that risk for just aesthetic reasons, that's crazy to me. No way. Too much at stake. Hey, Candace, good morning.
Good morning. There's this little suction tool that they use for contacts for people that have a problem poking themselves in the eye.
Yeah.
Because I did that too. I wore contacts for 3 years to take better photos, and I finally said, forget it. I'm going back to glasses because I can't poke myself in the eye anymore. But yeah, look it up. It's like a little suction tool. Now, they use it mainly for hard contacts. But I believe it can also be used for soft contact.
I've seen this thing before. I have a friend that got one stuck like way in the back of his eyeball or something like that. And he couldn't get it out. So he goes to the doctor and they give him that little plunger thing. But it wasn't for putting in. It was just for taking out, right?
You can use it to put in too. It's just the opposite movement. You suck the,
the lens?
Contact onto, you suck the contact onto the lens and then you push it off into your eye.
Okay. All right.
And also make sure your eyes are super hydrated and not with generic eye drops, but with something that's lubricating.
Oh, I've been using vodka. I didn't even know that. The most frustrating thing I've ever tried to do in my life, man. Seriously, the contact rage I have when I'm trying to put them in and out, and couple that with the ADHD when I'm just ready to do something else, and now I'm trying to put these in for 20 minutes. The rage I feel.
I bet. I can see you now in the bathroom. Just about to lose it and chuck your contacts across the room.
All right, so we got a bunch of good-looking single daddies in a bracketed tournament right now. We call them Zaddies. It's our Zaddy Bracketed Tournament.
All the single zaddies, we put a bracket up.
We are down to our fine four zaddies. All right. So we started, and now we have who has advanced after the first round. So between zaddy number one, Tony, versus zaddy number two, Joe, congratulations to Tony.
Come on,
he has
Tony.
Advanced. To the fine four. Okay. If you remember, Tony, father of an amazing 5-year-old little boy, who he calls literally the best thing to happen to me, former finance bro, changed careers so he could see his child more and enjoy what he does for a living, and likes long walks on the beach, is a gamer and a certified nerd. All right. So Tony has moved on. Now, between Zaddy number three, Ian, and Zaddy number four, Sven, congratulations to Ian. He has advanced to the fine four.
Yeah. Okay.
He was the one that joked that he's like a foster pet. Super cute, very cuddly, and you'll want to keep it. Just watch out for the pee on the floor. Okay. He's got dad jokes, folks.
He looks like a crooner. Like an old school crooner.
Like he belongs to the Rat Pack?
What's the?
Yeah. I'm over here lost.
Okay. Like a Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. kind of vibe.
Okay. Modern day Michael Bublé.
Got it.
All right. Then It was between Zaddy number 5, Jared, and Zaddy number 6, David. If you remember, Jared was our Pharrell, and then David worked in NASCAR. At least that's how we described him. That is not actually who they are. And congratulations to Zaddy number 5, Jared, okay. with his hat okay. and glasses.
Yeah.
He is father to a beautiful 8-year-old daughter, has a passion for food and music, loves 90s R&B. He has advanced. And then our last matchup was between Zaddy number 7, Drew, versus Zaddy number 8, Christopher.
This is a tough
favorite matchup.
This is a tough bracket right here. You got the guy naked on his own houseboat. And then you got the guy that's kind of adjusting his sunglasses, bald head, and he's biting his lower lip like, come and get it.
This is the smolder off.
So you know how in March Madness they have like the East bracket, the West bracket, whatever. This was the central bracket, right. as you guys yeah. had said yesterday. Uh-huh. They were giving off central energy.
For sure.
One was giving off more so than the other. And I mean, might be a little bit of an upset, but Zaddy number 7, Drew, the one that we don't know if he's wearing pants or not, has advanced. It is the summer. The girls are looking for a boat.
This is true.
Yeah, so if you don't recall, Drew is divorced, single father of 2. He's the one that's on a houseboat on Lake Alatoona. Easy, funny, easygoing, and looking for someone to share that with. But now our Fine Four is up at theburkshow.com. You can vote so we can get down to our championship Zaddy game.
I can only imagine all the emails that our producers are going to have to sift through saying, how do I get in touch with this Christopher guy? The guy that lost in that last round. Yeah, go ahead and vote up online right now, thebirdshow.com.
The Burt Show.